What happens in the sky affects life down here on Earth. The celestial compass shows you how and guides your way with astrology you can use from professional astrologer Kathy Beal. Every episode features her light-hearted, practical forecasts and navigational tips, blended with humor, optimism, and a love of patterns, symbolism, and pop culture references. Kathy translates technicalities into concepts that apply to real life. You'll learn how the current moment ties to where we've been, from the recent past to cycles that last happened years ago, and get a look at where we're heading. And much more, from special topics to special guests. The Celestial Compass, enlightening, entertaining, and empowering. Here's your host, Kathy Beal.
Greetings, Earthlings. This is, in fact, Kathy Beal of EmpowermentUnlimited.net, welcoming you to yet another exciting episode of Celestial Compass. All I'm going to say about the forecast for the month of December is that Mercury is retrograde in Capricorn until the 23rd, at which point it scoots into Sagittarius. Mercury and Jupiter are both going to station retrograde over the New Year's weekend. Until then, you know, all bets are off. Things will be somewhat more holiday-like when we get closer to the New Year's weekend with Venus moving into Sagittarius. And then there'll be a prolonged sensation of slow as the year goes out, which will be a nice way to just kind of hover. And as we all recover from what has been going on right now, including the technology snafu that led to this show starting very late. And so I'm just going to jump straight to our wonderful guest, Donna Woodwell, one of my favorite people to talk to about just about anything. Actually, I was going to say all things astrology. For those of you who, for some strange reason, don't know Donna, though she attended grad school to become a foreign correspondent, she had no idea how foreign she'd get. After exploring ancient and modern astrological, magical, and mystical practices for more than 25 years, she teaches witches, pagans, and astrologers how to unleash their unique genius into the world at her site, magicandmystery.com. Welcome, Donna.
Oh, hello, Kathy. That was an introduction.
Well, you are, in fact, here. So, yay.
I am.
Against it's many odds.
So retrograde-y. So retrograde.
Yeah. I woke up to the power in my town being out, and it's still out for a significant part of it. So, Mercury retrograde in Capricorn systems, infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You got it. Anyway,
great stuff.
We are not here to complain. We are here to look ahead at 2024, which is something you and I have done every year that my show has been on. And I have the sense this year is going to be quite different from last year. You agree with that?
I think energies are going to start getting unstuck. I'm going to go on record as saying they're going to get unstuck. Now, that doesn't mean that people are going to necessarily like it. I think many of us will be like, you know what? I am tired of waiting for it to be better. I'm going to put on my big girl panties and make it better myself.
Yes.
What do you think?
My theme for the year actually fits in with that. And my theme for the year comes from looking at the Aries Libra eclipses. And that theme is out of my way.
Well, we're going to talk about this, I know, as we go forward, but whenever the eclipses are in Aries and Libra and the North Node is in Aries, that also lines up with an 18-year cycle called the major lunar standstill. And it means that the moon is either higher above its normal track or lower beneath its normal track, extra high, extra low. It's out of bounds. And, you know, out of bounds is exactly what it sounds like. You know, anybody who watches sports, out of bounds, it's like beyond the field of play. So the moon, which is such a big part of our lives, our moods and our feelings, you know, some would even say like our emotional motivations, it's not playing by the same rules. So it's not just that the eclipses are major, except they are also part of this other cycle that's happening simultaneously. And when the moon's out of bounds every 18 and a half years, you know, it was out of bounds in 68, 69. You remember 68, 69? What was happening in the world? Big things. It was out of bounds in 1987 into 1988, 1989. What was happening in those years? Big things were happening. So like, enough has built up that, you know, change is still happening. Change is not going to stop happening anytime soon. Don't even count on that. But I think a lot of things that have been pent up and frustrations are finally going to break the dam, and we're going to see some interesting movements.
What I think about as you're saying this is kids in grade school who are cooped up in the classroom and then get to go out for recess and run around.
Yeah.
That's some of the energy we're going to have. Like, oh my goodness, there's movement. There's room for movement. There's latitude. And I don't see people needing an engraved invitation to get going.
No, I don't think so. And I remember, you know, speaking of grade school, I was in grade school on a school bus on a field trip, and we were singing songs like, you know, Pink Floyd, We Don't Need No Education. And we're not gonna take it. We had no idea what we were singing, but we were singing anyway. And so I think it's that kind of energy, especially key points during the year. I mean, just like any time, it has ups and down moments. But that spirit of, you know, I'm not gonna listen to a no, it's gonna play out in a lot of different ways. You know, from the personal to the political. Maybe we should just order shares at a popcorn company or something, because everybody's going to want to buy some and hang back. And I would say hang back and watch, but it's not about watching. It's about being in the middle of it. So they could be throwing their popcorn at each other. I don't know.
Always possible. There, when I was still living in Houston, there was a theater that had the lack of foresight to have a melodrama that they actually encouraged people in the audiences to yell out at the characters. And they made the mistake of actually selling popcorn. But people were pelting the actors with popcorn on stage.
Oh, no.
They had to change their policy. That's what I'm thinking of as you say this, all right? Yeah, so it's not going to be a boring year, and there's an interesting and odd connection between this year and when Jupiter and Saturn were conjunct. Was that December 2019 or early 2020? Was that early 2020?
I think it was December of 2020, wasn't it?
December 2020, and they met at 0 degrees Aquarius. So we had boundlessness and exuberance and amplifying tendencies. And
at 2020, it was 2020. Let's be clear.
And then Saturn, which is restriction. And now we're going to have Pluto at that very same spot starting in January. So I don't see people sitting inside. I see them going. Yes.
7 months later, we're going to have, 8 months later, we will have Jupiter squaring Saturn, those same two planets in their first quarter square. So, you know, there's something about this moment that's being brought up in that too, that we are facing the first obstacles or the first physical manifestations or the consequences of the stuff that was happening back in 2020. And well, as I said, 2020, we all know what that year was like. So, here we are.
Well, Okay, we've just kind of jumped in and thrown paint all over the walls. How about if we back up just a tiny bit? So we have kind of a general sense that this is going to be a highly active year and people will be very motivated. Are there particular signs that light up for you?
We were speaking on the phone earlier about April being a big month. I think we both agree that April sees the eclipse, the total solar eclipse across North America in Aries. And that's going to be a show. If you happen to be anywhere near the eclipse line, you should go out and watch it, because I was just looking at the maps, and during the totality, you will be able to see all the visible planets. All of them will be out on the same side of the sun. So Jupiter and Saturn and Mars and Venus and Mercury will all be visible. It's in the sky. Isn't that epic? So that's going to shake things up the way eclipses always do. And the same month, just a few weeks later, we have Jupiter finally catching up with Taurus. I mean, with Uranus and Taurus. And Jupiter expands. It's the energy that pulls us up and out. It wants to connect us and plug us back into the divine so we don't forget who we are. It wants us to sit in our truth. Uranus wants us to be individuals. It wants us to be like, I'm here to do my path. You put those two things together, and this is part of the, I have to do my thing. I cannot stand anything in my way anymore. So having those two major events happening like a few weeks from each other is pretty wild in our, and there, I don't believe that Mercury's retrograde that month, but like the whole beginning of the year, it's not. We have no retrogrades up until that point. So I think as we get, as you said, we sort of have a slow start up to the year. Our gears start getting placed by the 20th of January. We're like moving forward. And as we start going, get some like traction behind us, I think people are going to have, you know, breakdowns, breakthroughs of all kinds come April.
Plot twists are always in the mix when Uranus is active. Always, one way or another. You can sit here and you can plan what you think you're going to do with the year, and there is the thing you couldn't possibly have thought of that will show up. In fact, that's one of my truisms of stage managing, that the one thing that it doesn't even occur to you to plan for is what will happen. And then the next time around, you'll plan for that and something else utterly unexpected will happen. So for those of you who are looking at the calendar of April and starting to fixate on this, first off, no need to worry. But ultimately, well, Jupiter does bring stuff that's good for you, even if you're not so sure about it when it happens. And Uranus has a way of getting you out of things that really aren't good for you, even if you don't like it.
I remember when Uranus was at a pivotal place at the bottom of my chart, and it was lighting up my chart like a Christmas tree. And I was deep into my 9-to-5 fundraising job in a nonprofit organization, and I knew I didn't belong there. It had been bubbling for months, and I even resigned, but I didn't leave. I'm like, I'll wait till they find someone to replace me, and none of those things were going to happen. So I finally was faced with a senior vice president who borderline sexual harassment suit situation. And I was like, whoa, this is a note from the universe that I have to go now. I finally looked at a chart later. I was like, oh, well, that was what that was about. And I had no plan. I just knew I didn't need to be there. And so I jumped ship because the universe was telling me I had to move. And it wasn't about my ego. If you'd asked me, like, logically, I was happy. I had a staff. I liked my job. I just knew deeply I didn't belong. So it's moments like that, I think, as Kathy said, don't look at your chart. Don't look at the calendar and say, I'm going to plan to do this in April, because it's something deeper in you trying to light you up, get you on a path to be more of who you were meant to be.
Right. And trying to figure out in advance what it's going to be is a waste of your energy. You will be surprised. Some aspect of it. You will be surprised. But just backing up a tiny bit, I would just like to encourage people to look around now while they can think clearly, even if Mercury is retrograde, but now until Pluto goes into Aquarius on the 20th, and then Uranus goes direct on 27th. We're really doing Saturn stuff now. That's one way of looking at this, because so much in the sky is in Capricorn, and in January, it's just almost going to be laughable how much is there, and we'll all be little project managing worker bees, even if that's not the way your brain really works.
Or tired. I this year has been exhausting. I have so many people in my magic school who are just like, you're gonna take a week off for Christmas? Oh, that sounds good. Why don't we do that? Because I'm tired too. So I guess my recommendation for this month is to just relax and take a break while you can. Because once we do get to, Pluto moving into Aquarius, people are going to want to do things in a heightened way. Actually, I think it's going to start early. I think it'll start around, as soon as Mars gets into Capricorn, people are going to start like, I need to start moving things around. I need to do something. And then it's just going to get crazy.
So if you've had cabin fever, please look at this as good news.
Enjoy the break while it lasts.
Yeah, or take the opportunity to look around and say, I've been meaning to go through that pile of papers and throw out what I don't need. Huh, I think I'll do that now. While you're watching TV, just go do it.
That's exactly what I'm doing, Kathy. I moved across the country 6 months ago, and most of my stuff is still in storage until I have a chance to go out and search for a house. So I'm happily crashing with my parents for the winter. And one of the only things I packed was all of my paperwork. I had 10 boxes of files, and I swore to myself I was not leaving this house with any paper. So it's literally been gone through one box at a time, and sorted, organized, scanned, or shredded. And I feel like it's like a review of my life. But I will be a lot lighter when it's done.
I've been cleaning my living room, which is an appalling act for anyone who knows, and finding piles of things. I saw a photograph in a Facebook memory of what my living room looked like 3 years ago, and I went, oh, look, there's space on the floor. Huh, that used to exist. Huh. So this weekend I just started going through piles of things and decided I have no memory of why I thought this was important. So bam, it's gone. Bam, it's gone.
There you go.
Throwing things out. Mm-hmm. Astrologers live the aspects too, everyone.
We do.
We're down here with it.
We swear a lot more about it, but we do.
Oh, no. That was a professional secret that you just spilled there. I swore before I was an astrologer. So
what do you think? What do you think are the biggest pivotal points of the year, Kathy?
Well, I actually do think the end of January is very important, because it orients us. It orients us from issues that have been forced on us and have been crumbling around us for the past 15 or so years. And it orients us toward a different way of interacting with each other. So when Pluto moves into Aquarius, it's going to set a lot of stuff off in my chart. So I'm hyper aware of this. But we get almost, 8 months plus in the sign. It's there from January 20th until early September. And we stood in the doorway from, I think, March 20th to June 10 in 2023. And that was the first time we got a sense of it. And I'm not sure many people had any notion really what it was going to do. But I think this is going to transform how we interact with each other in a very large way. So we'll have elements of technology, and going back to that Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, it'll have something to do with remote and virtual interactions and redefining what we think our community is. A massive realignment of our notion of power, I think, is part of it too. But it's gradual, because we're just kind of standing and looking and going, oh, I see something kind of off in the distance. Huh, what is that?
I think that's the thing that we haven't really been talking about so much yet in the astrology community. It's that this is really the beginning of a massive energetic shift, because between now and 2026, all of the outer planets move from yin signs. They're moving from water and earth signs, receptive signs, into yang signs. So air signs and fire signs. And as Pluto's the first to go into airy Aquarius, but then Saturn and Neptune will move into fiery Aries, and Uranus will move into another air sign, Gemini. And as all those move through, our responses to things will feel like going at light speed compared to where they're going now. So if you think things are going too fast now, just wait, because things are going to pick up speed so many different levels. And the pent-up technology shifts that, you know, that people have either not wanted to deal with or just like, I'm too overwhelmed, I can't look at that right now, are going to be in your face and have like real-world consequences. And they're going. So I think that movement of Jupiter into Gemini gives us a little taste. When we have Pluto in Aquarius and Jupiter in Gemini, that's a taste of where we're going for like the second mm-hmm. half of this year. Mm-hmm. Reminds us that, you know, the days where we got to like to school, got a job, we got our paychecks, we didn't think about learning anymore, we just did our jobs, are over. This is over. So we all need to adjust to the concept of keep having to learn. Learning is a lifelong thing. And as we continue to grow and be retrained over and over again, that is the new norm. So if that sounds horrifying, I don't know what to tell you. find your curiosity. Can we do that?
That's a very positive way to put it. Find your curiosity. Also, as you're describing this, it really strikes me, Jupiter and Pluto will be in signs of the intellect and signs of words, signs that can sometimes, frequently, be detached and cut off from emotion or impact on other people. And we kind of have a triple whammy of that going on this year. Pluto in Aquarius could have a noticeable streak of concern for the brotherhood of man, but maybe not recognizing the person right in front of you. And I would think Jupiter in Gemini could also be part of that. People just running around with ideas and saying things. Gemini can be fairly filter free, and not thinking through that there's an actual human you've just said this to. We can't all be robots.
No. And as you said, it's going to be, I mean, emotions often get short shrift in our culture. And I think that's going to, I mean, we've had signs tied to emotions for the last little while as we've marinated in them. Some of that's going to be less recognized as we move into what's next. And I think that will be interesting. Neptune's still in Pisces for another year, year and a half, 2 years. So we have a little bit of cleaning up in that area to do, that watery stuff. Hey, you know, Kathy, I looked it up the other day. When Neptune went into Pisces in 2011, zero American states had legalized marijuana. Now we have 24 states in which it's legal. So think about the movement of Neptune through Pisces has had people checking out and checking in totally different ways than we ever imagined before. And some of that may be like the pressure release from all this stuff that has been going on in the background.
Very possibly. Also, the concept of binging media became a phenomenon during Neptune in Pisces. You just go off into another world and watch all of the episodes of a show at once. It's now possible to do.
That's escapism.
There's another aspect to all this, going back a bit to the Jupiter and Pluto and air signs part. And this is something that came up when you and I talked on the phone. And that is, I've been thinking a lot lately for a variety of reasons. Well, I have a book out that has a lot of stuff that's set in the 1990s. And as I was compiling the anthology, I was really struck at how the details of daily life are so different now compared to then. And we'd identified social media as a big change, but I'm going to say it happened before then. I would say computers becoming commonplace in homes, and more importantly, cell phones and caller ID really making an enormous difference in how we communicate with each other and how we get information, because now there is an instantaneous quality. Before, you would know if someone was not answering. You didn't know if they, you know, call somebody's answering machine, maybe they'd call you back, maybe they wouldn't. Someone would call you, you wouldn't know who it was unless you paid some exorbitant amount of the phone company to track your calls. And now there is an instantaneous quality to all of this. And what we've had change in the last 30 years is about as dramatic as from the 60s to the 90s. So we're moving into the next big absolute evolutionary change in technology and information sharing. And I think that could start to amplify and start to go way out of control this year when Jupiter moves
totally
into
Gemini.
I totally
agree with you. It's going to be powered by artificial intelligence. I always look around at like news media's forecast for the coming year, like while I'm writing my own forecast, just to kind of peek at what like normal humans are thinking about. And at the top of everybody's list is artificial intelligence, but bar none. And I can't think of a better description of exploring the dark side of artificial intelligence as Pluto moves into Aquarius. You know, we'll have how we will have 2001 looming in our collective discourse.
And I'm sure that there is a more recent, that's a pretty terrifying analogy, though. But there's probably some other stuff if we sit and think about it. Like, we've been getting a Black Mirror, for one thing. But there's positive to this, too, because a lot of things can go more quickly. We can partner with it. I mean, I personally find a lot that AI does annoying, but when I download my bank statements into my Quicken program, and everything already is coded because it recognizes certain pays, and it takes like 2 hours of irritation out of my life. That's astonishing to me. I just look at it and it's done. I went, whoa, hey, this is fast. So there are ways in which artificial intelligence actually can do very helpful things without.
I think it's going to do amazing things for us. I think it's going to be, I'm a Pollyanna. I admit it. The Sagittarius moon and Sagittarius rising. I tend to find the bright side of things regardless. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's not going to all happen all at once, but I think the potential to use artificial intelligence to go through reams of scientific data that we haven't even had a chance to process and come up with synthesis that's going to help us to make all kinds of discoveries faster than we've ever made before. It's going to make auto-driving cars come up much faster. If we think that the car made a difference, or the phone made a difference, or the internet made a difference, this is like difference on steroids compared to the way all those things have changed society. And it's I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's back to the popcorn. I think if you're okay with change, you know, I think that's the secret to life now, right? The faster you get okay with whatever you think is important is going to change. And whatever you think, you know, is the way life should be set up is going to change. And if you can just embrace that lifelong learning curiosity paradigm, you're going to be fine over the coming years. I'm kind of in a social experiment of my own right now with all of my belongings, save my clothes and my computer, and my dog are in a pod on the other side of town. I have nothing. So I'm not even living in my house. You know, what is it like to lose everything? I did it in a nice way. I mean, I technically didn't lose them. I'm paying to have them stored, but it's making me rethink what's important and what I actually need. And a lot of what we surround ourselves with is not stuff that we actually need. It's habit and out-of-date attachments, but not necessary. And I think over the next, if we get into the really big picture, over the next 20, 30 years, flexibility is going to be way more important as a thing to cultivate because everything is going to be changing so fast.
So maybe part of what is happening this year is the winnowing process of priorities that started with Saturn in Capricorn and then Saturn meeting up with Jupiter. When people started really paring their schedule back, partially because they weren't allowed to go outside very much and partially because it's just the way things were. Once you started scaling back with that, I think a lot of goals and priorities and obligations got stripped away and people really simplified. Maybe that is what is going to be happening with our thinking, getting a lot of nonsense. Not that we shouldn't have amusing things. I will always have amusing things, objects and thoughts, but maybe it will streamline the way we look at stuff and the way we think about stuff. Just an idea. So maybe that simplifying process moves from the physical realm to the mental realm. There we go. Those are the words.
Yeah.
I knew the words were there somewhere.
Pluto purges. Aquarius is a fixed air sign. So it's algorithm, the ideology, artificial intelligence, all of those things. And Pluto shows, it purges the stuff that's unnecessary. It shows the dark side of them. It shows the ramifications or the consequences in their extreme cases So there's a lot of mental cleaning up that I think has the potential to do as long as Pluto is in Aquarius, especially collective mental stuff. And we have a lot of collective mental baggage. We just don't currently have a processing system for dealing with our collective baggage. You know, you can go to the therapist and deal with your personal baggage. You can write in a journal and deal with your personal baggage. But how do you deal with collective baggage? And Pluto's going to challenge us to do that over the next 30 years or so. My dog agrees.
Yes. Yes, she does. Excellent. So we have identified the end of January, then April, pretty much all month, as important times. Jupiter moves into Gemini about two-thirds of the way through May. Anything else lighting up for you as particularly stand out for this year?
I think those are the biggest things that people are going to feel, that that Jupiter Saturn square is in August. There are Pluto goes back into Capricorn beginning of September until like the 19th of November. So if all of this wasn't enough, you know, it is an election year in the United States. But I read this morning, it's an election year in 2024, 4 billion people. There are elections happening all over the freaking planet. There's an election in coming up not that long in India, in England, in all different parts of Europe, parts of South America, parts of South Africa, elections everywhere. So it's an interesting year as we come together and try to figure out our collective stuff, what it means for us. And when the United States election is happening, Pluto will have gone back into Capricorn for like a couple months, which that will signify. But I will have to talk about that in another event because we don't have time for that at this radio show for sure.
Right.
And then Mars is retrograde at the very end of the year. It starts in December and will be retrograding at the start of next year. And Mars retrogrades always have us retreading ground. So the stuff that we've gone through this year, if we think we're spinning this year at the end of the year because Mercury is retrograde, we only get to the next 2024 when I think people would be like, whoa, that was a lot. So.
But there's a positive end to it because when Mars is retrograde, you, much as with any retrograde, you can walk back into things and go, do over, I'm going to handle this differently. Yep. Do over time.
I'm a Pollyanna. I think it's all interesting. I'm always excited about the possibility of new things and new ideas. And, you know, I just moved to a whole different state. And so I get a whole big fresh start and I'm excited about that. But it kind of depends on how you approach the situation. You know, there's that old psychological thing about having a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. You know, fixed mindset is the way it is the way it's always going to be, and there's nothing I can do about it. A growth mindset says, you know what? I can learn. I can learn something new. I can learn from this situation. I can be different through opening your mind to other possibilities. I think those who have a growth mindset will be tremendously intrigued by what the new year would bring. If you have a fixed mindset, you may find that life keeps subtracting things, trying to get your fingers to pry off of the stuff that you're clinging onto so that you, you know, expand your reality bubble, so to speak.
My experience has been that the harder you cling, the harder the impact to get your hand to let go. So start experimenting with how can you look at something differently. Because sooner or later, I mean, especially in April when Jupiter and Uranus conjoin, kablamo. Now, I actually want to back into that and address some fear mongering that I'm seeing widespread online. Okay. Because Jupiter and Uranus are going to meet in the sign that rules money. And some people seem to think that this is a very bad indicator for the economy. But my planet of latest degree is Jupiter. So much like you, I look at the benefits. And this does not have to be a disastrous time. This can be a surprisingly, in ways that you might not think about it in advance, surprisingly fruitful. There's a good word. Full of resources, new resources, different resources. Does not mean that your bank account's going to blow up.
I would also point out that traditional astrology, which would not indicate that Taurus rules money. So there's a subset of astrologers who...
Exactly. There are
It kind of depends on the kind of astrology that you're talking. I understand what you mean about the fear mongering, but I would also point out that we pick things that make sense to us, and then we can blow them all out of proportion. And it's always good to remind yourself that other people speaking other languages may see it totally differently.
Well, all right. From a traditional perspective, what does this Venus ruled sign? You would see, well, Jupiter seems to be very happy in the sign of Taurus, for starters.
Yeah, way happier than he is in Gemini, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not saying that our financial systems are in flux for a number of reasons. We're still recovering from the biggest global shock of the century of having a shutdown for a pandemic. We haven't recovered. Everyone's sort of reverberating from that. And as the numbers keep going up for the disasters for climate change, you know, a billion here, a billion. We used to have like maybe $1 billion disaster a year. Now we have like, you know, $30 billion disasters. All that money has to come from someplace. It doesn't just, you know. So these reverberations, these shocks, and we're not even talking about the wars and the impacts that they've had on commodity sales and all that kind of stuff, that creates instability and uncertainty. And that's not going away. I think it's going to be hard for anybody to predict, you know, just looking at astrology charts, when things are going to get wonky. So, because they are wonky, they're just wonky, and they're going to be wonky for a little while. And I this isn't the place to debate that. That's not where I would be worried about. I would be more focused on the question of how are your thoughts and beliefs creating your reality?
That's a much more positive way of approaching everything, always, I think. Because they're at least influencing your perspective. They're at least they're creating the filter through which you experience everything. Because two people can have the same experience. And if one person is inclined toward depression and feeling sorry for themselves, they will interpret things in a way that completely demeans themselves, whereas somebody else might be very excited about the same events. It's a difference of mindset.
I think that's part of the real lesson of all of this is that you have to move into these air signs. It's intellect, and your mind says more about how you experience reality than many other things. And, you know, as long as you have basic necessities covered, like you have enough to eat and you're warm, you feel like you have a sense of purpose, basic level of respect and human connections, strong family, those kinds of things, you can have very happy life. It's not about all the stuff that you have, and it's certainly not about all the messy thoughts that you have in your head.
And we have a lot more for everybody on this, don't we?
That we do. You think we throw it a lot at you all at once, and you're wondering, wow, how do I make sense of all of this in my own life? Kathy and I are doing our annual team up for helping you take all of these huge concepts and make them make sense in your own life, filtered through your own unique chart and point of view in our annual Magical Forecast, Write Your Own 2024 Story. Did I cover everything, Kathy?
Yes, and it's on Thursday, January, let's make sure I say the correct date here. Thursday, January 4th from 3 to 5 Eastern. And I have a link to it on my site, empowermentunlimited.net, right at the top. It's at magicandmastery.com, which is Donna's site.
I put it on the homepage. I put it on the homepage to make it super easy to find. Efficient. I was a good Virgo.
Always. And speaking of which, you get a workbook and you have access to the recording afterwards. So if you're one of those, but I can't be there on that day, don't worry about it.
You can have the recording forever. We won't even take it away from you. Yeah. I know some of these projects, like, they give you the recording for like 72 hours. I'm like, you know, if you're doing a workbook and a whole dive-in course, 72 hours is not enough.
No, you need access to the info.
Yeah.
And like, you may want
when April comes up.
Yes, you're going to want. What did they say? What can I do with this?
What can I do with my crazy life?
Just pay attention to what direction you're facing, because that will end up being really important, because that's the way you're going to run. So you can already sign up. You can reserve your spot, and it's remarkably affordable, and you get both of us.
You do. And like our personal attention, I think this is one of the most fun events, because we make it like astrology Mad Lib. You know those Mad Libs where you like fill in the blank with your own little, and then read the story back to you? It's kind of like that, only with your astrology chart.
So you'll play, and you'll learn, and you'll spend a lot of time thinking about yourself, which is everybody's favorite topic anyway. Yeah. So,
and what you want to do, what you want from the year. You know, we can talk about all these things as generalities, but how do they apply in your life? Like, what do you want to create for yourself? And sometimes I think we don't give ourselves enough of a chance to even think about what we want because we're so busy reacting to everything happening around us.
And with that, I am going to thank you for being on my show again and predicting with me and just talking about what we see coming. Your website again for everybody is?
Magicandmastery.com.
Right. I thank you very, very much. And everyone, remember that my forecasts are at ontimes.com. And they're also on my site, empowermentunlimited.net. And I hope that we will see a whole bunch of you guys on our little fun event in January. So have a great rest of the year, everyone. And we'll talk to you again in January.